Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Dhritarashtra quits home. Text 25. Tasya api tava deha ayam kripanasya jiji visho paraiti anicchata jirna jaraya vas. Vasasi eva tasyapi tava dehoyam kripanasya dijivasho paraityanichito jirno jaryavasasi eva tasyapi tava dehoyam kripanasya jidivisho paraityani chato jirno jarya vasasiva tasya
of this
api in spite of tava your deha body I am this kripanasya of one who is miserly jiji visho of you who desire life Paraiti will dwindle. Anicchata, even unwillingly. Jirna, deteriorated. Jaraya, old. Vasasi, garments. Eva, like. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Despite your unwillingness to die and your desire to live, even at the cost of honor and prestige, your miserly body will certainly dwindle and deteriorate like an old garment. Purport. The words Kripanasya Jivi Visho are significant. There are two classes of men. One is called the Kripana, and the other is called the Brahmana. The Kripana, or the miserly man, and the other has no estimation of his material body, but the Brahman has a true estimation of himself and the material body. The Kripana, having a wrong estimation of his material body, wants to enjoy sense gratification with his utmost strength, and even in old age he wants to become a young man by medical treatment or otherwise. Dhritarashtra is addressed herein as a Kripana because without any estimation of his material body, he wants to live at any cost. Vidura is trying to open his eyes to see that he cannot live more than his term and that he must prepare for death. Since death is inevitable, why should he accept such a humiliating position for living? It is better to take the right path even at the risk of death. Human life is meant for finishing all kinds of miseries in material existence, and life should be so regulated that one can achieve the desired goal. Dhritarashtra, due to his wrong conception of life, had already spoiled 80% of his achieved energy, so it behooved him to utilize the remaining days of his miserly life for the ultimate good. Such a life is called miserly because one cannot properly utilize the assets of the human form of life. Only by good luck does such a miserly man meet a self-realized soul like Vidura, and by his instruction gets rid of the nations of material existence. Tasyapi tava dehoyam kripanasya jijivisho paraityanichito jirno jaryavasasiva Despite your unwillingness to die and your desire to live, even at the cost of honor and prestige, your miserly body will certainly dwindle and deteriorate like an old garment. Vam Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Purushai Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasutan Deve Gauravani Vajarne Nirvishesha Srinivadi Pasikatya De Siddharna. Sri Trasra is in the similar situation as most conditioned souls are. He's identified himself with his body, and he wants to somehow or another make the arrangements so that he can live as comfortably as possible for as long as possible. But Maharaj Vidura, as it says here, he's trying to give him some mercy. So that mercy, as it explains, is not that he went to his brother and he blessed him. Many of the times the devotees go, "Can you give me blessings?" And then you're expected to put your hand up, and out from the palm of your hand shoots a blessing, surcharging the devotee with transcendental shakti. And then, after receiving such shakti, they're blessed. But here it says that a miserly person, one who's in the material conception of life, limited conception of life, this Griha Vratanam means somehow or another one's conception of life is quite limited. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has explained that the soul is not limited, but our conception of life is limited. In other words, when we understand that we have nothing to do with the body, with this body or any other body we've received since time immemorial, then all our attempts in this material world are seen as now as a waste of time. Shrava eva hi kevala. The soul is trying to find an unlimited place of happiness and a limited place of misery. So this is generally called ignorance. Trying to find happiness in a place where there is no happiness, trying to find water in a place, in a mirage, is known as illusion. Illusion is brought about by ignorance. So Maharaj Vidura, in order to give him mercy, he's giving him instructions. By his instructions, get rid of the nescience of material existence. So, although there may be something called mercy due to the association with the devotee, for instance, there is one devotee named Kaliya Krishnadas, and he used to relish the three remnants of the Vaishnavas: the water that washed their lotus feet, their remnants of prasadam, and the dust from their lotus feet. And certainly, he became a very advanced devotee simply by having faith in these three different items of the remnants of the devotees. But in order to achieve this elevated state of appreciating the qualities of a devotee, the things in relationship to a devotee, one has to receive instructions from a superior Vaishnava. In other words, unless one receives good instructions, one will probably not be able to appreciate even the most merciful remnant or even the mercy coming from the Vaishnavas. One will not be able to understand what the mercy is. For instance, when Krishna was present 5,000 years ago, most people did not know who Krishna was. Everyone had their own conception of Krishna. It is not that Krishna was here and he was giving out his mercy, and therefore everyone saw Krishna as God and they surrendered to him. Very few people understood who Krishna was. As a matter of fact, when Krishna walked into the arena to fight against the wrestlers headed by Toshal, Mushtika, what's that? Who? Chanara. So many wrestlers. Then everyone saw Krishna differently. The wrestlers saw him as the thunderbolt. Kamsa saw him as death personified. The ladies saw him as the young girls there saw him as Cupid personified. Mother Yasoda, Nanda Maharaj, Vasudeva, and Devaki, they saw him as their most beautiful young child. the unintelligent, they saw him as the unintelligent. Those who were meditating, they saw him as the Paramatma, the yogis. The Yadu dynasty, descendants of the Yadu dynasty, saw him as the most illustrious descendant. Everyone saw Krishna differently. And everyone got mercy accordingly. The wrestlers got their mercy. Kamsa got his mercy. Devaki and Vasudev, Nanda Maharaj and Mother Jasoda got their mercy. Everyone got their mercy according to ye yatamam prapadyante. As they saw Krishna and reciprocated with Krishna, Krishna reciprocated with them. Similarly, coming in contact with the devotee, the purpose of coming in contact with the devotee is that one will learn how to get Krishna's mercy. One has to learn how to get Krishna's mercy. Otherwise, if it was that you simply come in contact and the mercy is simply delivered just by the contact, then Krishna would have had no reason to speak the Bhagavad Gita. The Vaishnavacharyas would have no reason to distribute transcendental knowledge. Simply by good fortune, one comes in contact with a devotee and he gets zapped and he goes back to Godhead. And no one knows exactly why, but he got the good fortune. But Krishna explains there's a process to get the mercy. Tadvidi pranipatena pari prashnena sevaya upadek shantite jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshanaha. If we want to ourselves realize the truth, to experience the truth, then the process is submission. Submission to who? No one is submissive in this material world, in reality. But one has to find someone to whom one can genuinely submit. And submit why? With what? And for what reason? For pari prashna. In order to put forward relative inquiries, jignasu, shreya uttama, about the ultimate purpose, the ultimate good of life. We have so many breaths in this human form of life. So, how am I going to use my existence? Everyone is thinking, if I do this, then I'll get so much in return. People go to work, and they're thinking, I'm making five, or what is it here, maybe they make 200 Belgian francs an hour. Or maybe more. I'm sure people make more than that. But whatever they're making, oh, here I guess the workers, they make, what, 1,000 an hour? What were the workers making? Around 1,000 Belgian francs an hour?
They get themselves around 400 francs an hour.
Oh, okay. But the government gets the other half. So, they're thinking, I'm putting so much energy in and I'll get so much in return. But the Bhagavatam says, Kamasya Nendriya Pritir Yavan Jivata Yavan, what's it? Kamasya Nendriya Pritir Yavan Labo Jivata Yavata Jivasya Tatva Jignasya Narto Yas Cheha Karmavi. So Karmasya, the desires that we have, because although it appears that the body is working, but actually before the body does anything, the soul has to will. He thinks, he gets some idea within his mind, and then he feels, he weighs it according to how he feels about it, and then he may will. So the super soul, he's there, he's noting how the soul is desiring, how he's, what he's becoming attached to, how he's willing, and he arranges through the material energy to fulfill his desire. Especially when it comes that the soul is tense desire means he's willing. I want this. I want to do this. So, there's desire, karmasya nendriya pritir. But the desire, the will, should not be to gratify the senses. That, although, then one may say, well, this sounds quite extreme. They're saying, karmasya nendriya pritir. I'm not supposed to serve my senses, so now let me fast because I'm not this body and I'm not going to do anything for my senses. No, Bhagavatam says, labo jiveta yavata. But, no, that's alright. You can serve your senses, but only according to what's necessary to maintain the body. Just like a car, the car requires a certain amount of maintenance. So no one who is intelligent spends a whole day simply taking care of his car, inviting people to come over and look at his car, how nice it looks, and making sure that it has twice as much oil as it really needs, because it just feels like it, and put in twice as much gasoline as it needs. No, everyone, when they know the car has a purpose, and they want to nicely take care of the car, therefore they put in just the right amount of oil, if they're intelligent, just the right amount of gasoline. They clean the car as much as necessary, because they want to utilize the car for a purpose. So, labo jiveta yavata. So one, just as much as necessary, one should serve the senses. Alright, so now I'm only going to serve my senses as much as necessary, but I'm not supposed to be a servant of the senses. So what am I supposed to do? Jivasya tattva jignasya. That human life is meant to inquire about the absolute truth. Tattva. That is, we're supposed to come to a higher platform of consciousness. A higher platform of awareness. Jivasya tattva jignasya yascheha karmavi. There's no other purpose of any kind of work or activity. And then it says, Vedanti tat tattva vidas tattva yaj gyanam advayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdite. So whether one is striving for Brahman realization through great austerities, or he's striving to become Paramatma realized through the process of Astanga Yoga, or by the process of Bhakti Yoga, he's trying to learn how to become aware of Krishna and to develop his love for him. So these are persons who are striving for jignasya tattva, for knowledge of the truth. But of course, out of all of them, the topmost or the most fortunate person is the person who's endeavoring to become Krishna conscious. And the whole process begins with hearing. So this is a great austerity for the devotees. We're not building a fire all around ourselves and trying to stay in the blazing heat to realize that we're not this body. The only thing necessary is we have to get over what's called laya, first of all. Sleepiness. Generally we think that, what is the sense of hearing all this? I've heard it a million times. But we have to see in our practical activities how much we've actually become aloof from bodily activities. So the first bodily activity that generally we're absorbed in is eating. So everyone likes to eat, but the problem is we eat so much that we get sick or we get tired, and therefore we don't become very enthusiastic to hear about Krishna. Of course, if we were talking about eating, everyone would wake up. If we were telling what the menu is, then people would have an interest for this day's prasad. Then people would have an interest. This is something relevant. This is something practical. This is something that's dear to my heart. This is something that I can get some taste for. But if we start talking about philosophy, about Krishna, we think, oh, let me relax and take it easy. He's going to tell me something real heavy. Next he's going to tell me I'm not supposed to eat. This is really too much. And then he's going to tell me I shouldn't sleep. I'm sitting here peacefully, not disturbing anyone, and he's going to wake me up. And what is he going to tell me? The same thing I heard over and over again, that you're not your body. I couldn't mean less to me whether I'm my body or not. The real important thing is if there's something to eat, then we can talk all about this high philosophy. Then he's going to tell me Krishna is God and I can surrender to him. But I already surrendered. Otherwise, what am I doing here? Next he's going to tell me that nothing belongs to me, it all belongs to the devotees, and then he's going to ask me for something. So, in this way, we're always cautious not to surrender too quick, and to make sure we get enough rest, especially during the class, and my mind doesn't become disturbed by hearing this dry philosophy. let me get into something more interesting, namely my mind telling me, don't listen to him. You're actually a nice person. He's too heavy. Don't worry about it. You're making progress. It doesn't matter what he's saying. Just relax. Close your eyes and I'll wake you up after the class is over in time for prasad. So, this jignasu, this inquisitiveness begins with simply interest in staying awake. Because actually the purpose is, the essence is, Krishna consciousness is extremely simple. But our practical absorption in eating, sleeping, mating, defending is very intense. And these are the basic things that we have to learn philosophy. We have to conquer our tendency to become absorbed in these things through practical intelligence. Because unless we come to the platform of practical intelligence, and what is that practical intelligence? It's also very simple, that we should serve Krishna 24 hours a day. Chaitasya sarva karmani, mahi sanyasya matparaha, bhuriyo gamupashitya, matshitak satatam bhava. That in all activities, and for the results, just depend upon me. And work always under my protection in such devotional service, be fully conscious of it. So what is this full consciousness? Ideally, we should be seeing Krishna with the flute, the cowherd boys and the cowherd girls and the trees, the flowers, always before our consciousness. Or Krishna talking to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. That this should be our meditation. Alright, we can't see that within our heart, but then we should look around and everything we should see should remind us of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And if we don't see Krishna within our heart playing a flute, and we don't look around and see things that are reminding us of Krishna consciousness, then what are we seeing? What is our idea? What is our conception? Oh, there is a woman, there is a man, he has a sweatshirt on, I don't like that color. He stole some prasadam from me yesterday, I think it was him, I better watch him. He criticized me 3 years ago. I've never forgotten it. I've no, you know, nothing he can do to get my forgiveness. I'm just waiting for the time. If we're not seeing either one level, Krishna within our heart with his pastimes, or at least philosophically seeing things in relationship to Krishna, then we're in Maya. It doesn't matter how nicely we're sitting there, we're in Maya. And therefore, we're trying to hear what is the philosophy. Just like Dhritarashtra, he was in Maya. He was identifying himself with a body, Kripana, instead of a Brahmana. Karapanya dosho pahata svabhava prichami svam dharma samudacheta yatshtraya nishtita bhruhi same shishasteham sarimam tvam prabhanam. So Arjuna said, Karpanya, I am acting just like a Kripana. Because why is he acting like a Kripana? Because he's in Maya. He's identifying himself with a body. He's identifying everyone else with their body. But we're devotees. We don't do that. Because I have a sari on and a dhoti on. I have my shield against Maya. Whatever I see is what it is. Exactly what it is. Just like with our current movement, we have dozens of devotees fighting with each other, well, ready to kill each other because they've understood the truth. I'm sure Krishna is very pleased to see a reenactment of the fight amongst the Yadavas. I'm sure Krishna is very pleased to... No, Krishna is not pleased to see the devotees fighting against each other. Prabhupada said these are the three major problems with the current conditioned souls. One is they have a tendency to enjoy sense gratification. Think, oh, this is actually quite nice. So because they enjoy sense gratification, therefore they have a tendency to become angry, frustrated. They can't get exactly what they want, or someone is taking away what they want. They're impeding my desires for name, fame, profit, adoration, distinction, whatever else. Therefore, they become angry and frustrated, and they, because they have lost their intelligence, they see things in something other than Krishna consciousness, and therefore they fight with each other. So this is not Krishna consciousness. It is a product of illusion. And similarly, our conceptions, if they don't come to a simple platform of helping us remember Krishna, it is simply our conception, somehow or another, has been deviated into a conception of illusion. And why has it been deviated into a conception of illusion? Generally, it's because of our attachments to eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, either grossly or subtly. Therefore, we have to become convinced through the philosophy how to regulate these things and eventually give them up. Not that I'm very regulated in my habits of eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Whenever I feel like sleeping, immediately I sleep. Whenever I feel like eat, I eat as much as I can. And as far as sex life, whenever I'm not enjoying it externally, internally I'm always meditating on it. And as far as defense, I'm making arrangements so that all my enemies eventually disappear, somehow or another. So whether we're in a very gross conception of life or a subtler conception of life, the real point is how to get rid of these gross and subtle tendencies to enjoy separately from Krishna. Therefore, Dhritarashtra, he had no conception that he wasn't acting as Krishna's servant. As we've heard, he understood that Krishna is God, but he was fixed in his worldly materialistic life. Similarly, we may have some conception that Krishna is God, but someone has to come along and shake us up once in a while to get us out of our slumber, out of our tendency to take it easy. Of course, it has to be done in such a way as we understand what we're doing. Not that someone says, run around and do this, and we have no idea why we're doing it. Therefore, Krishna says, Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mama nusmara yudhicha. Do what I'm asking you to do, but do it in Krishna consciousness. And if we can't do it thinking about Krishna, then we should do it with understanding of how to come to the platform of thinking of Krishna. That how this activity is related, how it's going to help me one day or sometime or another come to the platform of remembering Krishna. So Prabhupada says, first of all, we should become dutiful. We should know what Krishna wants us to do. And then we should do it to please Him. And if we do that, then gradually we'll be able to think of Him. Or naturally we'll be able to think of Him. So that's actually quite a deep philosophy. How to understand what Krishna wants us to do at this particular time. That takes some consideration. So before we do something, we should consider as much as we can. Most of us don't have four heads. We have one little tiny head. And in that one little tiny head, there's one little tiny brain. And along with that tiny brain, luckily, there is a little tiny super soul. So if we take advantage of our tiny little brains, or big brain, depending on what kind of brain you have, and we utilize it in relationship with a tiny little super soul who knows everything, and try as much as practical to consider what we're supposed to be doing and why we're doing it, then the result is if we do that, we can judge it how much I've actually become Krishna conscious. Is this actually helping me remember Krishna? And if it brings us to a more complete understanding of how things are related to Krishna, if it detaches us from other conceptions, if we practically serve Krishna out of feelings of love and affection, then what we've done is become successful. And if we think that this is too hard to tax my brain, it may burn out, I got to relax and take it easy, then we can go on for millions of years and we won't make any progress at all. If we want to hold on to our conceptions of this bodily conception of life, that I'm actually quite nice, everything is going along quite nicely, I have everything I wanted, I don't want to tax myself too much, then this is called Maya. Take it easy. And the other side is that let me get some name and fame, let me work really hard and get something, and after I burn out, then blame it all on Krishna or Krishna's devotees. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, he says, Sarva Karmani Manasa, no, it's not right. Mayi sanyasi, mayi sarvani karmani sanyasyasya chetasa nirashir niramo budva yudyasya vigata dvara. That mayi sarvani karmani sanyasyasya chetasa sanyasya yatma chetasa, giving up all your works unto me, Krishna says. This is called sannyas. Do some service for me, but vigata dvara, without lethargy and without a feverish mentality, without the mode of passion and without the mode of ignorance. So this is what we're supposed to be checking. This is called the beginning of knowledge. Am I in ignorance? Am I about to fall asleep when I'm supposed to be awake? And am I awake when I'm supposed to be falling asleep? Am I in the mode of passion or in the mode of ignorance? Or am I actually advancing in the mode of goodness? That takes some endeavor. That takes some intelligence to judge what is my mode of nature and how to come to a higher mode of nature. So once we examine ourselves, once we utilize our intelligence in this way under Krishna's direction, once we become conscious, as I've heard Prabhupada said, first become conscious and then there's some possibility of becoming Krishna conscious. Once we can utilize and develop our intelligence in this way, then it becomes much simpler to understand that whatever I'm doing, I should be doing to please Krishna. Krishna is actually my beloved. I am naturally Krishna's beloved. Whatever I'm doing should be to please Krishna. And if we think like this, then naturally we'll think of Krishna, and we'll think of Krishna's devotees, how they're pleasing Krishna. That's called Krishna's pastimes. There's nothing in Krishna's pastimes except for Krishna's devotees trying to please him. And there are other pastimes of Krishna with the non-devotees, how if you don't try to please Krishna, then Krishna either directly or indirectly through his material energy smashes or slaps the conditioned soul. Which is not very nice. Therefore, Maharaj Vidura is going to give instructions like this to Dhritarashtra. He doesn't sit down and say, my dear Dhritarashtra, now let me tell you about Raghunuga Bhakti. You're in a tough position, but I'm going to give you all the mercy. No, he tells you, he's telling reality something he can relate to. Just like presently, we can relate to our body. This is something we're all conscious of. That we're conscious of eating, sleeping, mating, defending. This is what we're too much conscious of, and how to utilize these things in Krishna's service, and then utilize our energies to minimize these things, and the other energy utilize it in Krishna's service. So what is Krishna's service? Krishna's service is hearing, begins with hearing about Krishna, hearing about this philosophy of seeing things in relationship to Krishna. And what is that relationship with Krishna practically? Dhritarashtra, he spent his time figuring out how to kill the Pandavas. This wasn't very auspicious, as we've heard. And therefore, he spent the rest of his life lamenting over how he couldn't kill the Pandavas and how his sons were killed instead. And he just went on eating and sleeping, mating, defending. So similarly, we do not have the power generally to meditate upon Krishna. So how are we supposed to meditate? What is the real practical meditation? Didati prati grinati guyamakiti purichati bhunte bojayate chaiva shadvidam priti lakshana. This is the real meditation. What is that? How to hear from the devotees. How to explain to the devotees about Krishna consciousness. That should be done with priti, with love. And how to take prasad from the devotees and offer prasad, and how to offer gifts in charity and accept charitable gifts. In other words, our practical dealings with each other in Krishna consciousness, this will be the really foundation of our advancing towards a higher platform of Krishna consciousness. Satam prasangam amavirya samvido bhavanti rikarana rasayanam kata. It's in the association of devotees that we can get a taste of hearing about Krishna. Just to say the name of Krishna, or one devotee, his name is Murari Gupta, he was talking to one king about medicine. And suddenly the king's servant took one peacock feather fan and was fanning the king. So soon as Murari Gupta saw the peacock fan, immediately he fell down from the dais because he remembered Govinda. Because as soon as he saw the peacock feather, then immediately he thought of Krishna as the peacock feather in his hair. He thought of the peacock feathers in Vrindavan. He thought of the peacocks and Krishna dancing. He immediately became absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Similarly, for those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, the Paramahamsas, just hearing the name of Krishna, immediately they remember everything in relationship to Krishna. But one should not imitate that level. We, on the other hand, practically have to do something in relation to Krishna. Just something in relation to Krishna. And as soon as we do something which is not in relation to Krishna, then we're immediately in Maya. So if we're hearing, just like the wonderful pastimes of Krishna and the gopis, that's very nice. It may be very pleasing. Unfortunately, the next moment, we'll forget that pastimes and immediately we'll engage in some kind of nonsense activity. There may be different degrees of nonsense activities, but if we immediately, as soon as we forget how to properly serve Krishna, how to relate to Krishna, how to serve Krishna's devotees, how to help the non-devotees, as soon as we forget like that, then we're back in the third class platform or lower. In other words, the Kanista Adhikari, it's not bad, we can, although it sounds like that, the Kanista Adhikari, the materialistic devotee, that's his position. He sees things in relationship to matter. It is not that he's being condemned. That's the reality of the situation. He's conscious of his body, and he has material conceptions. But he has to rise himself, as Kundama Karan Maharaj was saying in his seminar, he has to rise himself or raise himself to a higher platform. So what is that process of raising oneself to the higher platform? Taking prasadam, offering prasadam, doing the general activities of the devotees, especially those six loving exchanges. Why aren't we perfect in executing those six loving exchanges? Because we're Kanista Adhikaris. We're in the material concept of life. We don't really believe that women are souls, that men are souls, and that the souls are ultimately Krishna's servant, and that ultimately the most important thing is I'm Krishna's servant. And that if someone does something in relation to Krishna, that's very auspicious. And if someone does something in relation to the material world, even creating a universe like Lord Brahma, it's a waste of time. That the only auspicious thing is to do something in relation to Krishna. And that should be appreciated. That even the smallest thing in relation to Krishna has unlimited value, and even the greatest thing, which is not related to Krishna, has no value. So Dhritarashtra was the emperor of the whole world, but Vidura is coming here, and is saying you're just like a dog. That you're wasting your time. Your body's about to fall apart. Now you think you're a great king, and the next moment you may be a hog. That you should wake up and do something for your spiritual life. So similarly, these instructions for the Kanista Adhikari, try to see things in relationship to Krishna. Don't pretend that you can jump to the highest platform or you don't have to make any spiritual progress. Try to understand the necessity of taking this human form of life seriously. That now we're in Andakupam, we're in this well of material existence. At any moment we might be kicked out and we may have to come back in someplace else and start all over again. Therefore,
tattva jignasa, try to understand things thoughtfully, seriously, and then apply it practically. That's why Prabhupada gave us the ISKCON movement, so that we can learn how to apply these teachings in a practical way. So how we can actually begin to appreciate the devotees. How to appreciate even the smallest service that a devotee is doing and put it into the proper perspective, so we're able to see who's doing more or less service and how to help the devotees eliminate their anarthas, either by our example or by our instructions or by other means, so that they can render more service. And that ultimately, if I become a servant and instrument for Krishna, then the result is I'll become Krishna conscious. And if I become Krishna conscious, then I'll actually become happy. And if I become happy, then I'll become satisfied. And if I become satisfied, that completely satisfied in Krishna consciousness, then my loving service to Krishna will develop, and gradually my life will become successful. And if I remain with material conceptions, if I don't try to understand this philosophy thoroughly, then it may appear for some time that my life is alright. Prasadam is alright, not too much disturbance, I'm getting up, my life is regulated, etc. It's better than it was before. Everything's better than it was before. But I'm still in the bodily concept of life, and there's so many less intelligent devotees within this movement. There are so many problems, and therefore, you know, what to do? Just kind of go along and struggle. But actually, this very superficial idea of what Krishna consciousness is cannot really help us very much. We may remain on a very superficial level of Krishna consciousness, just being satisfied if there's enough prasadam, that if I can sleep peacefully, that if I don't get into too many conflicts with the devotees, and if somehow or another there's money for my old age, so I can continue doing that when I'm old, then everything will be alright. But it won't be alright, because it is a very superficial level of consciousness. One has to get beyond that level of consciousness by tapasya. One has to come to the platform of realization, and before we can do tapasya, we have to hear. It used to be that someone would stand up and they give a Bhagavatam lecture about you have to go out and distribute books. And the devotees actually did some tapasya. They used to go out and distribute books. Of course, that may be ancient history within our society. The old days, where people used to do tapasya. Or they used to go on Harinam. They actually used to spend their time chanting the holy name instead of other things. And there used to be other tapasyas, working in the kitchen or just following the instructions. So now in our society we're developing a philosophy how this tapasya was all bad. People were burnt out, they got psychological problems by doing these tapasyas, and you have to be cautious. This is more or less the current mentality. Be very cautious, don't be cautious who you're listening to, don't take anyone too seriously, because deep inside them there is the material energy, the material consciousness, they're subtly trying to exploit you. Don't really take it too seriously. Just relax. Use your own intelligence. How to work it out so at least you remain peacefully on that level of consciousness where there's enough to eat and a nice warm place to sleep. And these things should never be disturbed, because it's fanaticism if they are. And if they wake you up in class, then, you know, what to do. So, we have to get beyond that. We have to learn how to hear from this Bhagavatam. We have to hear from the devotees how to make a little advancement. How to give up eating. That's why we have ekadasi, for instance. How to give up eating, which is generally ekadasi is not the most favorite day. I remember when I first joined. Then they used to have a feast on ekadasi, because the devotees would get so much anxiety on ekadasi that they couldn't do any service. And so they used to have a huge feast on ekadasi just so the devotees' minds would become pacified. Because ekadasi is not the day, wow, tomorrow's ekadasi, fantastic, I can fast, wow, how wonderful. No, generally it's not the most favorite day. Or today is a Janmasami. What a wonderful day. We fast the whole day and night. Joy! Joy! We have this. So, and then giving up sleeping. Oh, this is horrible. It's giving up sleeping. Agitate my mind like that. And defending and mating. Of course, theoretically, we say we should give up defending. But I can never forget that guy. I can never forget. But I'm trying to. As far as mating, I don't have to mate. I'm enjoying myself within. Everything's cool. I'm getting the best of all worlds. So one actually has to give up these conceptions of life. And the process is we have to hear. And we have to take it seriously. And that seriousness will be demonstrated by tapasya. By following, at least, the minimum, tapasya, is to get up early in the morning. Prabhupada stressed, mangalarti. Not that I'm doing such a great tapasya, I'm making so much advancement within. And the devotee should appreciate it. No, for ourselves, we may appreciate whatever little the devotees can do, but the real thing will be shown by tapasya. Just like Vidura, he's not telling Dhritarashtra, you're a hog, you're a dog, you're a camel, you're an ass, your body's dwindling, it's falling apart, and, you know, all right, now it's almost 9 o'clock, let's go and take prasad. No, he's preaching to him for something practical. Leave home, get out of here. Wow, what a radical thing. He's kicking him out of the house. No old age insurance. An old man. He's kicking an old man. This is extreme. He's, you know, this is horrible. You know, wait till the deprogrammers hear about this. There'll be a law case. He kicked the old man out of the house. And the old woman too. Oh my God, this is horrible. And he threw him into the forest. They had nothing to eat. They were eating leaves. Finally, he became so frustrated, he burned himself. And the old ladies, they entered into the fire. Wow, this is horrible. And it was all Vidura's fault. But if we see the practical, he preached for something practical. Do something practical. Of course, nowadays in ISKCON, if you say, you know, do something practical, if you say book distribution, everyone should go out and distribute books. You go, wow, he's in ancient history. Doesn't he know where he is? We've surpassed that. Or Harinam. Everyone go out and hurry. If you say, today is Harinam, everyone goes, well, I got so many things to do. We already planned our day out, so we don't go and hurry now. We don't do book distribution. We already have a conception of life that's convinced us how not to do anything too difficult. Take it easy. Gradually in the next life, we'll do hurry now again. Gradually in the next life, you know, we'll go out once a week or once a month on book distribution. You got to take it easy. You got to prepare yourself for old age. Make sure you have a nice, comfortable cottage to sit in, and you can read the Bhagavatam, you can read about Dhritarashtra burning himself in the forest. You gotta take it easy. So, actually this whole Bhagavatam class is actually meant to wake us up, to convince us to execute tapasya. And so we can actually get realization of Krishna before the end of this life. And believe, and maybe in the future such classes will actually be given again. And not only be given, but people actually take it seriously. Although we think that we've already learned everything in ISKCON, we already have our, just like Rabindranath Tagore gave his history of ISKCON, and I heard some other seminar, you know, to convince us that you gotta, you know, it's a good reason to take it easy. But actually it's a better reason not to take it so easy is Dhritarashtra, because we're just about to die. And it's not going to be very pleasant, and we're going to have to come back again. And if we don't take it seriously in our next lifetime, we're going to have to come back again until finally we take it seriously. So if you think you're having a good time, you think everything's alright, that it can't, you know, everything's going to be very pleasant, prasadam is always going to be on time, that there's always going to be a warm place to sleep, well, then this class is not for you. Or nor is this philosophy. But if we're a little anxiety that things aren't always going to go the way I want them to, that I should prepare myself to become Krishna conscious, then we have to see what tapasya to execute. What austerity we have to perform to actually become Krishna conscious. What we actually need. Maybe the sages of old, they could do a certain austerity, but there are, for our movement to thrive, that austerity of preaching, that austerity of going out of our way to give Krishna consciousness to others, is the austerity that's necessary for us to actually become convinced of the philosophy ourselves. That if we can convince others that Krishna is God, and that they should do some austerity, then we'll also become convinced to do austerity. And if we do some austerity, the right austerity, then we'll be able to convince others also to perform a similar austerity. And if we get caught up in other things, then it doesn't matter how much we think we're doing all right, if we're not doing all right. So I want to thank you very much. Sorry for all my offenses. Are there any questions, comments? Yes.
In one place it's quite easy to laugh or to concern about the future, what they're going to do this thing. But on their old age, but it's also reality. And for some places of devotion, you know, serve for so many years, it's a reality they have to think about. So, and it's not always plain that they may have collected millions of dollars and find themselves in no place. So it's not so funny to laugh about it.
Okay. Well, I'd say that the best way of taking care of our old age, because I'm the Minister for Health and Welfare, is to go out and preach. If you want to do some service to yourself right now, in terms of taking care of your old age, then preach Krishna consciousness and follow it very strictly. As far as the other things, that will actually be taken care of if people are actually preaching properly. It is not that it's going to be neglected. But if that's what we start working on, is taking care of our old age, and we forget about Krishna consciousness, then the result is that we won't take care of our old age. As soon as we forget about Krishna consciousness, as soon as we become deviated from the path of Krishna consciousness, as soon as we become absorbed in this body, then we'll become simply absorbed in more and more mental speculation and sense gratification, and the result is that our old age will be miserable, because we won't be Krishna conscious. Doesn't matter how nicely we so-called provide it. On the other hand, if we're actually in Krishna consciousness, then we can have a very simple old age, because we'll be simply satisfied in Krishna consciousness. And the devotees are Krishna conscious. If they see our example of tapasya, they'll also execute tapasya. And that tapasya will mean that there'll be plenty for everyone. If we preach to people and they surrender everything to Krishna, there'll be unlimited abundance within our society. And as soon as we become creepana and miserly, what's going to happen to me? And that's all we start thinking about. As soon as we become a kripana, instead of a brahmana, a preacher, and one who's actually following, then we become everything becomes more and more limited. So it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. From my experience, practical experience as the Minister of Health and Welfare, that even when there's some project, you know, to get together a ladies' ashram or whatever, I put some endeavor into it. We try and get the ladies together. They get a little enthusiastic for an hour, 15, you know, whatever it is, a day, a month. And then they get deviated to other things. On the other hand, if people are actually absorbed in Krishna consciousness, doing for others, working for others, rather than working for themselves, dutifully working for others, then so many things would be accomplished. Everything would be taken care of. The preaching would go on. Our preparations for old age would go on. Everything would go on. But as soon as we become kripana, then for myself, what I want to do, I don't want to listen to anyone else, and nothing goes on. The preaching doesn't go on. Our preparations for old age doesn't go on. Nothing goes on. The only thing that goes on is mental speculation and sense gratification. So I'm certainly all for preparing for the future properly. But that secret is to actually take it seriously. Krishna consciousness now. Kumar Acharat Pragyo Dharman Bhagavataniha Duralava Manusha Janma Tarapya Dhruvam Arthadam. Prahlad Maharaj said, now you're a child. So now is the time to take up Krishna consciousness. Now we're youth. Now we should take up Krishna consciousness. So Krishna consciousness is not something fanatical. It's something well thought out. It takes into account all these different things, but in Krishna consciousness. So it's a fact that people, you know, maybe in the past, we've done so many things, people would go out on marathons. I can never figure it out. Marathon after marathon. So does that make book distribution wrong? No, it's just the person who ever had people go out in marathons without any consideration whether the people who are doing it in Krishna consciousness or not, whether they were hearing, they were following Prabhupada's program of regularly hearing. You know, it was our first marathons, for instance, used to be, I remember the first time I heard about the Christmas marathon. The Christmas marathon was one day on Christmas. And then it was 3 days. Then it was a week. And then it was a month. And then on Radha Damodar, we'd had 3 month marathons. Until it was the statistics showed that by the end of the first month, everyone was burnt out, and they did less and less as the marathon went on. So this is not Krishna consciousness. This has nothing to do with Krishna. This has something to do with, you know, this may be fanaticism. But not that there should be no book distribution, there should be no marathons. But it should be done in such a way as that people do it for the long term. Shreya, right, the prayas. The long term should be looked at. The long term of going back to Godhead, using every year, year after year, so that by the time we're 80 years old, we're actually eligible to sit and meditate upon Krishna 24 hours a day. And when we're 20 years old, we're doing what's necessary to become Krishna conscious. We're utilizing our energy and developing towards the 80-year-old body. Not that we work in such a way as that when we're 20, is that in 3 years we'll be 80 years old. That's not very intelligent either. So it should be done in a reasonable way. But not that we should reject book distribution or reject the other austerities, the Harinam, because this will give us all, if it's done properly, it'll give us all the facilities. It'll give us all the intelligence. It'll give us all the Krishna consciousness that we need to have a perfect old age. So we'll be able to go back to Godhead as nicely as possible. Yes.
We heard many times that if we make one step towards Krishna, he will make 10 steps towards us. But in reality, devotees have many times the impression that even if they make very sincere effort to please Krishna, they don't feel like getting something in return. So how you could explain it?
That the devotees try and do something to please Krishna and they don't expect anything in return?
No, they don't get anything in return.
The devotees don't get anything in return? Where is that? Where is that?
Well,
it means they don't experience.
Yeah, they don't experience.
They do something to please Krishna and they don't experience anything in return?
Yes.
I don't believe that. Every time I've ever done something for Krishna, he's always reciprocated. You have some instance where someone did something for Krishna and he didn't reciprocate? Is there some experience? We do things seemingly for Krishna, but they're actually for ourselves. Then how can Krishna reciprocate? It's not so easy to actually do something sincerely to please Krishna. We may do something for Krishna, but if we want some fruit or result back, then sometimes Krishna doesn't give it to us because he knows it's not good for us. If we do something, my dear Krishna, I'm doing so much service, could you please give me that bottle of poison? And Krishna doesn't give us. And you say, well, you're not reciprocating. No, Krishna, I really want that bottle of poison. Give it to me. I'm working real hard for you. So that means we're not desiring the right thing. But if we desire the right thing, then Krishna will certainly reciprocate. Something that's beneficial for us. So sometimes Krishna, we do something for Krishna. Yasya anugrahami krishe tadana harai. What's that? Yes, something like that. Harishe tadanam. What's the hanai? What's the last word?
Danam.
Shanai. then Krishna takes things away, because they're not. Krishna has a plan to help us. He is reciprocating. He's taking away what's bad for us. And we think that Krishna's not reciprocating. He's not reciprocating what I want in my foolishness. But he is reciprocating what he wants in his infinite wisdom, what's good for us. That we have to see. Tatte nukampam susamikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam. That the devotee, he knows out of, when he sees things completely, thoroughly, when he has a full perspective on things, then he can understand that if something bad is happening to him, that is Krishna's mercy. Due to his past misdeeds, he's suffering his past misdeeds, but Krishna is so expert, he's arranging his suffering in such a way as to help him advance in Krishna consciousness. So the devotee who understands things thoroughly, he understands how expert Krishna is, that this suffering is actually a great blessing to him. Therefore, in any circumstance, in fortune or misfortune, he's always endeavoring to advance in Krishna consciousness. Yes.
Right. It seems like projects like Radish or just as a movement, there's always so many things to do. There's never, we could be, all of us could be 24 hours practically engaged.
That's the positive. That's good.
So many things would have been done. So sometimes there is the doubt, what to give priority to the sadhana more than to the practical service. I mean, I often comment.
If there's too much to do and you neglect your sadhana, then after a while there won't be anyone here to do anything. So many people come and go because they don't have the proper balance. Everyone's different, but Prabhupada gave us a basic sadhana. So many hours in the morning and in the evening too. So everyone should try the best they can to have as much sadhana as possible, at least during those hours. If we don't hear about Krishna, we think I already know everything. As soon as we think I know everything, I already realize the whole philosophy, then we're lost. Then there's no opportunity to make any advancement. Then we're stuck in whatever mode of nature we're in. As soon as we become a little humble and we realize that we need to hear about Krishna, we need to attend the programs.
It's true that the bhajan or sitaram sound painters, the shopping is not done in the forest.
Then that's management. That, of course, that's called, what do they call that, logic? I forget it's not begging the question, but when you are putting forward some example which is not practical, which is not reality, you're just creating an example within your mind. What is that called? No. It's hypothetical. Yeah, it's just a hypothetical thing. But that's what management is for. So if that was going on, then no one would be here. Everyone was just, doing that. But we have to arrange things in such a way, Prabhupada said, that throughout the 24 hours a day, one cannot help but think of Krishna. So at least some basic sadhana, one has to wake up early in the morning, which means we have to go to sleep as early as possible. Now someone may be working in the cafeteria or something like that, doing some service, so it may not be possible for him to do that all the time. But that should be our ideal. We should work towards that. And if the result, we have to judge it also by how much I'm Krishna conscious. If now I'm thinking of the ladies who walk into the cafeteria instead of Krishna, or if I'm on book distribution and I only approach the most attractive women out there to give them mercy because they have the softest hearts, then, I may find myself thinking of them instead of Krishna. That I should come and hear about Krishna. I may have to, the material nature will arrange it in such a way is that either I'll start seeing things in relationship to Krishna, broaden my conception of Krishna consciousness, or it's going to become more and more narrow by the workings of the illusory energy. If we don't hear about Krishna, if we don't go through the tapasya of rising early in the morning, if we don't go through the tapasya of hearing from the other devotees, of associating with them in kirtan, of worshipping the spiritual master, if we don't go through that tapasya, then the material nature will give us another thing to go through, another material tapasya to go through. I think we better stop there. It's a little late. Thank you very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.